John 21. The message today is questions of love. Questions of love. I want to read you three passages and then bring several others to your attention. But these three passages will cover the subject of questions of love. So John 21. Verse 15. This is the third appearance of our Savior to the apostles that John lists. I could show you 10 appearances during the 40 days, but this is the third in the Gospel of John. And it says in verse 15, "So, when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He saith unto him, 'Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said unto him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. But when thou shalt be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.' Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, 'Follow me.'" Now, 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 22. "If any man loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema," Maranatha. And now, chapter 13. Turn back to chapter 13. One word. The word charity that is translated that way in chapter 13 is the same word agape that's translated most everywhere else, love. And so that's the word that we shall use in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm become sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they shall be done away. Where there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all that you tell us about love, because we confess, our God, that we see the explanations and definitions that man gives to be all wrong. We are thankful that we have a heavenly explanation as well as an earthly explanation. And we are glad, Father, that we believe the message from heaven. We've read portions about your message to man, our God, and we pray that we shall take it to heart. Let us know of how great importance it is. May men see that. And may they not think of love, our God, as men think of love, but may they think of love as it is described and explained from heaven. And so by thy Spirit, accomplish that this morning. We thank you for all your blessings and look to thee for good this hour. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It takes ever so much love to be an obedient child of God. And also, it takes our Lord's definition of love and our Lord's evaluation of love for him to say whether you love or you do not love. One of the most embarrassing things to happen to a person is for him to be asked by someone a personal question, and he knows that there is sin and confusion in his heart concerning this subject, and yet at the same time he knows that it's partially true, and therefore he wants to answer with a correct answer, but he knows that the one who has asked that question has searched him through and through, and he knows the truth. And that is what happened to Peter. In this last appearance that we have of our Lord in the Gospel of John, it seems as if it's a personal appearance to do for Peter something that was necessary to fulfill what our Lord told him about his failure in the Gospel of Luke. The Savior had told Peter that he was going to deny him three times before the cock crowed twice. And he said, but I prayed for you, and when you have turned around, when you've repented, when you have come to your senses, strengthen thy brethren. Indeed, he denied our Lord those three times, but before he is permitted to strengthen his brethren, he must have his soul restored, and that is what the Lord is doing in John chapter 21. There was no reason other than Peter's denial that he understands why the Lord is asking him these questions. Why would anybody come up to you and ask you the question, "Do you love me?" Unless you profess to love this person, why would they ask you that question? And Peter had protested his faithfulness and devotion to Christ to the point of death. And the Lord Jesus told him what he was in his heart and what he actually would do. And what the Lord said about Peter turned out to be true. Do you realize that what the Lord says about you is going to turn out to be true? That all of the great thoughts that you have about yourself are worthless, but what the Lord says about you is true and is correct and shall control your life? And what is so gracious is this. It says in the first epistle of John, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart." And that's greater in mercy. Because if our heart condemned us and God went beyond our own personal condemnation, then there would be no hope. But God is greater than our heart. And there's no doubt that Peter's heart condemned him. I know that. When he denied the Lord three times, and it says the Lord turned and looked at him, said nothing, just looked at him. And Peter was searched to the heart, and it said he went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because he understood that his evaluation of himself was false, and what the Lord Jesus had said about him was true. And so now, after all that remorse, he went out and wept bitterly when he denied the Lord three times. The Lord, in his mercy, and in his grace and compassion and in his spirit of restoration, is restoring Peter by these three questions he asks him about love. Let me tell you this and get it out of the way. There are four loves in the Bible, in the Greek language. Three of them are found in the Bible. One, that is unworthy love to Christians, that isn't even mentioned in the Bible. But there is agape, and there is phile, and there is storge. One of them is divine love, one of them is human love, and one of them is natural love. When it speaks about a mother and her children, it says that some mothers are without natural affection. Natural affection is the third one. But in the portion that I read to you from John chapter 21, we have the two words, the word phile and the word agape. Now, you may say, well, there's a great distinction between the two. There is a distinction between the two, yet you would think that the Lord, when he was speaking about his love to us, and the Father about his love to the Son, would always use that elevated word, agape. But in the Bible, the Father uses the word that human beings would use concerning his Son, as well as the word we think he should use. So you have to hesitate. You say, well, maybe there's not that sharp distinction between the two. Well, most of the time the word agape, this divine kind of love, for God so loved the world, that kind of love. That's the one that's used most of the time. But again and again, you get the word phile used, and this will help you to understand the distinction. When it speaks in the Bible about friends, it's the word phile. And when it says that the Father embraced his son that returned home and kissed him, it's the word from phile. So when there was friendship and a kiss, that is the word phile. But when it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, but it says the Father loveth the son, and it's the word for friendship and kiss. And so you may not be able to make this sharp distinction between them, but I'm going to do it in John 21 because I believe it's necessary for this reason. If a question was asked you and the answer you gave was not identical to the question that was asked, then something is wrong. And what happens is this. The Lord asks three distinct questions. Not one of them is like the other. Each one is distinct. And the first time he talks to Peter, he asks this question. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this is the word agape, agapeo. Do you love me more than these? He had boasted that he loved the Lord more than all the disciples, and he would die before he would deny him. And so the Lord asked him the first time, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter does not answer the question completely. He does not say, yes, Lord, I love you more than all of these. But what he does is to change two things. He does not say, yes, I love you more than these. He simply says, yes, I love you. And he uses the lesser word, human love. And the Lord will accept that because he said, then feed my lambs. The next time, the question is distinct again. He says, Simon, son of John, leaving off a comparison, he said, do you love me? A divine kind of love. And again, Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a human kind of love. The Lord says, well, shepherd my sheep. And so finally, the third time, and this grieves Peter, he leaves what we're going to take now as a divine love. The Savior does not say, Simon, son of John, do you love me with a divine love? He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me with a human kind of love? And it said, Peter was grieved when he asked that question. Why? Because he knew that he was not able to answer the Lord with the divine kind of love, but he told him two times, and now he tells him the third time, well, I love you in a lesser way with human love. And so this time he does not say, yes, Lord, but he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And the Lord accepts that. He says, then you feed my sheep as well. So think, the Lord does not ask the same question three times, but the questions are graded. And Peter answers yes, but finally he gets down to the humblest kind of love without comparison, without calling it a divine love. And the Lord says, well, do you love me in the least kind of way, as a human, as a friend to friend? Do you love me that much? And Peter said, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now, the Lord could have embarrassed him the way that I'm telling you. But the Lord did not do it. But the Lord, knowing his shortcomings, knowing his failures, knowing his evasions, he accepts the answer each time. And so this is the point that I want to bring home to you, that you do not love the Lord with all the depth and devotion and reverence that you tell people you love the Lord. Your love is very base and very common. Now, maybe if you were the Apostle Paul, you could answer positively to the Lord, "Paul, do you love me with a divine love more than all others?" The Apostle Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than they all." Paul could probably say, "Yes, Lord, I do. I count not my life of any account as dear unto myself, that I may finish my course and carry out the ministry that God has given to me." So Paul could probably answer the question the first time, and the Lord would not ask him any more questions. But there are some of us, and I think it's most of us, that if the Lord asked the first two questions, we would have to answer him in an evasive way. But finally, if in the lowest possible way the Lord asks us, "Do you love me?" we could say, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And so I'm prepared to stand before God that way, this day." If the Savior said, "Do you love me?" I would say, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." It wouldn't be in the highest way, but it would be at least a love that the Lord would accept. And so for that reason, when I say, "I love the Lord," I think I would hang my head and say, "Yes, I love the Lord, but he is so wonderful that I am ashamed to say that I love him, because my love is so different from his love." And this is what God wants us to understand, that the standard that he sets for us in the Bible is far beyond anything that you can conceive of or ever accomplish. If you gave yourself completely to the working of the Holy Spirit that indwells you, you could accomplish these things. But when the Savior says this, "You shall be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect," how many of you have ever attained that? You say, nobody can attain the perfection that the Father is perfect. That's the standard that the Lord Jesus expects of us. Not only that, but all of the gradations of love, he expects those to be realized in our lives, and he expects us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He expects growth because our love can increase. We can improve day by day. And I hope that as you have grown older as a Christian, you can say, "I love the Lord Jesus more today, more intelligently and more reverently than I did when I first trusted him as Savior." And yet for some of you, it's not that way at all. Because the Lord Jesus said in Revelation, "I have this against you. You have left your first love." I remember when I was first saved, I witnessed to everyone. I remember going to my old grandmother and was asking her if she was saved. My uncles, all of these old people, and they were looking at one another, thinking how shameful it was that a youth would come and ask old people if they had trusted Christ as Savior. Now, I would go about it more reverently. I would approach it more discreetly. And so the Lord may say to me, "You have left your first love, that zeal that you had." But I hope that having left that first love, I have developed the way that John gives gradations in his epistle. He says this, I write unto you, my little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So thank God he can say that about me as a little child. I write unto you, little children, because you know the Father. Yes, yes. But he says, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, can he say that about you? Have you developed from just knowing your sins are forgiven and that God is your Father, to fighting the battles with Satan and you've overcome him and the word of God is in you? You might say, no, a little, but no. And can you say the greatest of all that he says concerning fathers? I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. If you know him the way fathers were spoken of as knowing him, then you have grown. And if the Lord Jesus asked you those questions, he might ask you the least question. Do you love me in the lowest possible way? Yes. Well, then after a while, I hope he could ask you and you would say, yes, I love you in a deeper way. And perhaps someday we'll be able to say, Lord, as Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. For me to live is Christ. I hope someday I'll be able to say, yes, Lord, I love you more than all the other Christians. But if you did love him that much, you still would feel inferior and say, no, I do not love him as much as I should. But understand that the Lord, even when children are born again, it speaks about fruit in their lives being born different percentages. It said some bring forth fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Well, thank God, I can say, I brought forth fruit 30-fold. Why? You have to bring forth that much fruit, or he doesn't claim you as his own at all. And then, perhaps, I've grown in grace, and I brought forth maybe 60-fold. But the exhortation of the Bible is, you shall be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So if we've increased, then that's good. The talents that were given. One that was given one talent said, I've gained 10 talents. Good. The other one, the one talent you've given me, I've gained 5. Well, that's all right. But you have the same gift that I do. You have the same Bible that I do. What have you done with that Bible? Have you increased it from 1 to 5 to 10? Well, the Lord expects you to increase it. And the love that God has given you, has that grown? For this reason. You had no love when you first came to Christ as a sinner. No love at all. You say, oh yes, I did. The Bible speaks of us in two ways. It says, at one time, we were filled with hate. We were haters of God, either violently or secretly. Do you realize that the Pharisees, the enemies of Christ, when they heard him speak, they wanted to kill him then, but they were afraid of the people. And so they hated him, but it was reserved. But at the last, that hatred burst out, and they laid hold on him, and they crucified him. And so the Bible speaks about in Titus that we were filled with hate. We were hateful. And this is what it says in the first epistle of John. And you remember this and stay humble. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Do not think that as you went through life, there was such an excellent disposition of your life that God looked down from heaven and said, I must save this man because he is so much like my son. This man loves me so much, I must save this man. The Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. And at first, I quoted this verse last week, and I'll give it again. At that time, you were separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was your condition. At times, it's covered with religion. At times, it is openly bad. But at that time, we were separate. We were without God, without hope in the world. But it says, now in Christ Jesus. And now, yes, Lord, I love you. Why? We love him because he first loved us. Therefore, if God asks you and if a friend asks you, are you saved? What proof are you going to give him that you passed from death unto life? You say, well, I give him what is written in the Word of God. That's fine. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, tell me this. Would you ever give this reason? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Tell me. Is there so much love in your heart for all the brethren that people can look at you and say, why, that man is a Christian. I know he's a Christian because of the love in his heart. You say, I prefer the one, these things that are written. Indeed, we must. But this is what the Bible says. If any man love not, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. It says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And so now, go around and tell people, yes, I'm saved. Why? Because I love the people of God. Think now of your relationship with all the people of God here. And is your love for them so evident that people say, why, I know he's a Christian. There's so much love in his heart. Do you love the Lord Jesus so much that men can see that love and say, why, he loves the Lord Jesus? Because evidences are not only secret and from the Scripture, but they are visible as well. Let me tell you, when this woman came and was wetting the feet of Jesus with her tears and anointing his feet and kissing his feet, Simon thought that the Lord was making a mistake in allowing her to do that. But the Lord looked at her and he said, Simon, she loved much. Did you realize that? That woman that was kissing the Lord's feet and anointing his feet, the Lord Jesus said, that is love. And Simon said, why, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she was. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to change sinners from living for the world and the devil, living for him and glorifying him. And so the Lord saw something she did and she said, this woman loved much. Thank God for that. And the Savior says this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so you say, well, that's strange. I want to say the Word of God gives me assurance. The Lord Jesus said, the world will know if you have love one to another. And so what message are you giving to the world that you belong to the Lord and that Christ comes from heaven and saved you? By the love that's in your life. And so the Lord talks about that. And if you want to realize what is expected of you, it's a love that is not of this world at all. This is what the Savior says. He says, as the Father has loved me, even so love I you. What does that mean? It means that this infinite, divine, heavenly love that the Father has for the Son, the Lord Jesus said, I have that love for you. And it says that we are to love one another even as Christ loved us. Can you do that? And so if you love me a little, that's nothing. The love that we are to have one another is the love that Christ has for us. And Christ says, the love I have for you is the love that my Father has for me. And so it is raised to a heavenly degree, not earthly at all. And God will never be satisfied until that is fulfilled in our lives. Those are the degrees of love. Listen to the love of the Lord Jesus. It is unending. It said, Christ, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. But Peter is denying him. All of them are fleeing, forsaking the Lord, running away. And it said, having loved them that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And these failures, he said, Father, I will that those whom you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you've given me. You loved me before the foundation of the world. That's the love of the Lord Jesus. That having begun to love you, that love will never end. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the kind of love he expects in us. And so you are liable to look at it and say, it is impossible. I can never realize such love. I remember a verse that goes like this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so what God asks of us can be accomplished, not of ourselves, but through the Spirit of God that dwells in us. So the questions that our Savior asked Peter, they were questions of love. And what frightens me is this. I'm speaking to you this morning, but if I'm not speaking to you in love, I'm sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And if I know all knowledge, all mysteries, and I speak to you and have not love, it's nothing. And if I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so there may be eloquent men that come, orators that come, but if they have not love, sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And that is concerning everyone who speaks. Tell me, why do you get up and speak? Do you realize that unless it is motivated by love, you're nothing but sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal? And if I stand up and give you all the explanation of the mysteries, why, it's nothing. And if I make every sacrifice but have not love, it says, it profits me nothing. That is why the Lord Jesus is talking to us about a supernatural love. We love, yes, why? Because he first loved us. And the only one who can meet these requirements that God expects of us is his Son. But then I want to do as much as I can to be like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may know him. So that if God asks me the question, now, he doesn't ask you, but I ask you, do you love my Son? This is what the Savior said to those that were arguing with him. They said, we were not born of fornication. God is our Father. The Lord Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. And so you say God is your Father, then you must love the Lord Jesus. If not, God is not your Father. And you say, well, God is my Father. Well, then, do you love the brethren? If you love not, you abide in death. And any love that you have, you must acknowledge that I love him because he first loved me. The Lord Jesus had questions of love. And the love that I am aspiring to attain is that love of 1 Corinthians 13. I've lived a long time, and I do not know if I'll ever live long enough to attain it. But thank God, I know the goal. And so, let us love one another as Christ loved us. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for what you teach us from heaven about love. We know about our love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We know about the loving of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We know much about that, our God. We pray that we shall know about the love of you for your Son and the love of your Son for us. And we pray, Father, that without embarrassment and without apology, if the Lord Jesus comes and says us, calls us by name, do you love me? We can say with fullness and with assurance and with truth, Lord Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. Help us to be those, Father, who not only are loved, but who love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.